Welcome to Washington Defender Pastor to Pastor. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope that you're ready to dive into a great time together today. If you're enjoying these podcasts, I want to encourage you to like, subscribe, share, and comment. If you're in that Washington Defender huddle, you can share this into your huddle as well. Also, if you're a deacon or you're an elder and you want to share this with your pastor, that would be much appreciated. We love to communicate with pastors and assist them in any way possible. So we're going to be talking today about loving your neighbor. And pastors, I know that one of the things that we're seeing in the public square is a lack of love for each other. Jesus said that in the last days that our love for each other will grow cold. And so we need to be shepherds who teach our congregations how to love each other and how to love the people around them. So we're going to take two scriptures, the first one from Matthew chapter 22, and it says this: Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I think we have a great responsibility as pastors to teach those that we lead how to love their neighbor, not just who their neighbor is and who's not their neighbor. I mean, I know there's been endless debates on this, but the fact is we need to teach them how to love their neighbor. So we'll look at Corinthians as well. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." So I think as we go into this time together today, I want to encourage you pastors that teaching your congregation how to be long-suffering is very important. You know, we're living in a post-Christian society, post-Christian culture, and we have to learn how to have long-term plans of suffering with the people around us. This isn't the idea of like coddling the people around us, but to really call people to repentance and to understand that we are changing in our culture in a negative way. And so how do we teach our congregations how to be long-suffering and to love their neighbor in this way? To teach them to be kind. I know this sounds maybe very easy and simple, but the reality is the examples that we often have in the public square aren't rooted in kindness. Now, kindness doesn't mean that we tell a lie, or kindness doesn't mean that we soften the truth. Kindness means we have respect and we value each and every person as created in the image of God. And so we think about how to teach our congregation, how do you be kind? How do you show kindness to someone around you and be considerate of who they are? Not to envy the things of this world or envy the things of that the other side of this world has. And so to teach our congregations to stand in truth and righteousness. And sometimes it may seem as if those who are practicing sinful life is getting ahead. Their lifestyle is moving them forward, and to teach our congregations how to not have envy towards them or jealousy. That love does not parade itself. In other words, we are going to take a humble position, even though it is bold in the public square. We're not there to parade ourselves. And one of my main concerns is that many people are trying to find ways to parade themselves in front of every single thing that's out there. And as pastors, we need to teach them that humble lifestyle and to let God be the judge of our hearts and our minds and how to move forward in these things. And so thinking through, God, what can I do to give you the glory and not myself the glory? Teaching them not to be puffed up. You know, we're seeing the collision of two worldviews, and sometimes it's hard. We can become very arrogant on some of our items that we have, thinking that we're right. And God would have us look at these items and say, how can I, shepherd, teach my flock how not to be puffed up? Could you imagine if Jesus was puffed up? It would not have been a good thing. And so he had the right to be puffed up. He existed in Philippians chapter 2. He existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And that's what we need to teach our congregation, is how to empty themselves and not be puffed up. Not to seek their own, but seek the good of others. And I think this is important because when we think about policy and we think about the public square, I think sometimes or oftentimes people are seeking their own interests instead of the interests of others. And the role of government in our life and how does that play out in the public square? But we really want to seek what's best. And what's best isn't that people rely on the government for their paychecks or rely on the government for this or that, that they become government dependent. The best is that they can provide for themselves, they can move forward and do the things that are fitting and pleasing to God. And so we want to be able to be people who don't seek our own. It is not provoked. And this is important on both sides, whether they're liberal or whether they're conservative, whether they're Democrat or Republican, that they're not provoked by the other party or the other group of people, that they somehow understand that God is their refuge and their only hope. And so as pastors, we get to teach our congregations how to walk this out. Thinks no evil. This is important because there are certain things in our culture today that are simply evil, and we don't want to begin to enter into those areas. But also, I think it's important that when we look at people who have opposing thoughts or opposing views, that somehow we see them created in the image of God and not see them as evil, but see them as people who God wants to redeem. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not evil actions. That doesn't mean that there's not evil philosophies. That doesn't mean that there's not evil priorities or an evil agendas. Those are all out there. The spirit of Antichrist is out there. But this does mean that we use the lens of the gospel message, and we somehow call, as it says, and I think it's in Jeremiah, evil, evil, and good, good. But we understand that God wants to redeem all of mankind, and so we see it that way. Does not rejoice in sin or in iniquity, but we know that God rejoices in truth and in righteousness, and so we want to rejoice in those same things. We're living in a culture where sin is celebrated, and how do we turn that around so that we celebrate the things that God would have for us? It rejoices in truth. And this is where we know that there is absolute truth. It comes from the Word of God. And we got to teach our congregations how to not embrace the political correctness and the wokeism that's around us, but to rejoice in what is true, that God has created male and female, that God has formed and placed people in the nation that he wants them to be in. And some of us don't like to hear that. But God does strategically have us, each person around this globe, in the exact place where he would have them to be. Love bears all things. And so how do we bear up under those with different philosophies? And teaching our congregations to do that as well. Love believes all things. Now, this is not a belief in lies, you might say, or a belief in falsehood or conspiracies or belief in all these kind of things. But it's the belief in who God is, that God has something that he wants to do in the hearts of each and every individual. Hopes in all things. In Washington State, this is what we need. We need hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so how do we bring that back? That God is able to do far more than we could ever dream of or imagine. And so we have to have hope in him, that we endure this long process of where we're headed as a society and a culture, that we have hope in that God's going to change hearts and change minds, and yet practice endurance as we go. So as you're teaching your congregation, I think one of the most important things that we can do is we can teach them how to reach out into their community. And so we've provided a strategic outreach program for you that really gives you something each month that we can do. And you can go to the website here, fpiw.org/outreach, and check it out. But think about how we can really reach out into our communities. I think this is not what we call Educator Month, where we honor those who educate our kids. And so that's what we want to be a part of, is each month having a plan of how do we reach into our communities. Also want to encourage you to disciple your community. We're doing our adopt elected city councils, city officials, school board members. You may look at county officials or at the state level, but we want to make sure that every elected official is being prayed for. And finally, let's close in prayer. I know that this is going to be a great week. We are looking for more interviews for Pastors to Pastor. I think we have a couple more booked coming up in the future, but if you'd like to be on the program and you're a pastor, we would love to speak with you and get to know you a little bit more. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we teach our congregations how to love their neighbor. Go before us in all things, God. Surround us, God. Let us have wisdom and insight that we would be able to instruct and to allow them to be empowered to love those who are incredibly different than them. Let the gospel message go out from each of our churches into our communities and the surrounding areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.